Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fieldmore's finest, Monte Hill.
The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Third down and eight. The magic lift by the 49ers confuses Bowler. Pick,
Willis, six. Kyle Bowler's been away from football for a little bit. One thing you know in the NFL, you cannot throw the ball across the field with great defenders like Patrick Willis.
John Lynch on the call. How about that? Now you're GM of the San Francisco 49ers. And, of course, that's one of the many highlights for the Hall of Famer, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Patrick Willis, who joins us live here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And another big weekend for Patrick Willis as he will receive his Pro Football Hall of Fame ring in front of the faithful this Sunday for Alumni Weekend for the San Francisco 49ers. We're proud to have him on the morning roast. Patrick, congratulations again for being a Pro Football Hall of Famer. One of our favorite players, Shasky and I, in the history of the 49ers. We've been watching this team since basically we've been born. I know you're feeling great. What was it like to be out there in Canton, Ohio? And good morning to you, Patrick.
Hey, good morning to you all, and very much appreciated. It was a wonderful time out in Canton, just being around all of the greats. Family, friends, teammates. Yeah, it was just an amazing time.
Being inducted or receiving your Pro Football Hall of Fame ring in front of the faithful, where you played in your entire career here in the Bay Area with the San Francisco 49ers and all these teams, kind of the 50th anniversary team, the 1974 team, the 1984 team, the 1994 team, all those legends that come see you receive your Pro Football Hall of Fame ring. That probably means more to you to see your teammates there to celebrate with you, right, Patrick?
Oh, man, it's going to be a great weekend. The 49ers have a rich tradition, amazing history when it comes to the game of football. And just to have all the greats back, it's really going to be special. This weekend, it's not just about me. It's so much bigger than that. It's about all those, like I said, who came before me, who I inspired to want to be great, like, and bring a championship home. Unfortunately, wasn't able to do that, but was very fortunate to play for a great organization and is very honored.
Well, you know, I've said this to Frank Gore, and I'm going to say it to you. I know you guys didn't win the ultimate one, but you guys were championship caliber players. And what you meant to guys our age and older at that era of Candlestick football, it can't be expressed enough. What you've been to some great SEC stadiums, some great ones, some iconic ones. What did Candlestick, though, what separated it for you from some of these other places? Because when I think of you, Patrick, I close my eyes, I think of you on one side, Frank Gore on the other, just laying dudes out.
Man, I just got the chills just now hearing you say that. You know, first of all, shout out to Frank Gore. Just got inducted into the 49ers Hall of Fame. Very, very much deserving. Man, heck of a teammate. But Candlestick is home. They say home is where the heart is. And I just remember coming in 2007 and just wanting to make a difference, wanting to leave my mark on the game, and to do it at Candlestick with the feeling that I now realize that, man, you can't replicate that feeling anywhere else. Candlestick to me reminded me of a true gladiator arena, if I could ever have really played in one or performed in one, just because of the ambience, the way the faithful cheered for us, and it just felt tight. It just felt tight. And so I'll forever miss that place.
As Shasky mentioned, you played at Ole Miss, and we know about, you know, we're West Coast boys, but we watch it on television, Death Valley, LSU, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Swamp in Florida, Knoxville, Tennessee, Georgia behind the hedges and all that. But what did you know about Candlestick before you played at Candlestick? Because you come out here to the West Coast from the South as a rookie. You get named starter in training camp and middle linebacker. What did you know about Candlestick Park? What was the reputation of Candlestick Park before you stepped foot on that grass at Candlestick Park?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't know anything about Candlestick. I just know that wherever I was drafted, I just wanted to go there and play my best ball and make it my home. And I can say Kansas State just, again, it just gave off that gladiator mentality. Like, if you was not a football fan and you came to Candlestick, you would probably be tough, because it wasn't about, you know, the entertainment outside. It was truly about what was going on the field at that moment. And it was just amazing to take that field with, like I said, so many who came before me, amazing players, to just be one of those ones who will be remembered, or who is remembered for playing on that field as well. So, again, just able, honored to be a part of that rich tradition.
Pat, that 2011 team just meant so much to so many people. The way you guys came out of nowhere and just dominated. To this day, that defense is one that I hold in such high regard. And I know you're too humble to say yourself, so let's take you off, okay? Bo, Ahmed Brooks, Justin Smith, Alden, Ray McDonald, Isaac Sopawaga, Hawk, Hittner. Who was the baddest dude on that defense? If I took you off and you couldn't say yourself, who was the baddest dude on that defense?
Patrick in some trouble, man.
Because that defense, I know that the Saints game, everyone remembers. I think it gets lost in the sauce. The way you guys attacked the Giants in that game, in the rain, in that NFC, it's one of the great games I've ever seen. I still think it's an Ahmed Bradshaw fumble that they blew way too soon. And you guys were all over Eli in that game.
Yeah, you know, I'll say that, man, shout out to all those guys. When people ask me about the game of football, when they, you know, say, Encore, come back. I'm like, can I bring back the crew? Can I bring back my guys? Because, man, what people don't understand, you spend a lot of days with your teammates. You know, you go through the highs, you go through the lows. And I wouldn't have been who I was had it not been for great teammates like Justin, Ray, Bo, Takeo, Isaac, Abrayo, I mean, I could go on. I mean, just Deshaun, so many guys. So I couldn't just say one, but if I am going to say one, I'm always about, you know, the elders. I say the elders, about the old heads. And I would have to say probably Cowboy. Cowboy. He was like, you know, the man. I have great respect for all my teammates and great respect for him for how he came over to the Niners. You know, I was just my second year in the league, still, man, trying to still green behind the ears, trying to figure it out, and to have a teammate like Cowboy and TKO, I mean, those are ultimate teammates. And just shout out to all my teammates and coaches who I was able to take the field with, you know, share the highs and lows with, teach me the things that they did as they did. And so just very much, man, appreciative of this journey.
Yeah, Cowboy was sick. I mean, he made an all-pro team in two different positions. I mean, who does that, right? DN, D-tackle, he was amazing. Justin Smith, that is. We're talking to Patrick Willis, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's going to get his ring in front of the faithful this Sunday when the Niners take on the Arizona Cardinals, number 52. And we can sit here and talk about all your great plays. The hit on Brad Smith against the New York Jets. The pick six up in Seattle where you go like 70, 80 yards, which was just truly iconic there. But it's one of the moments after a game that I really cherish. And with all your pregame speeches, when you turned into a leader, Patrick, and you're like, we got to have it. You're giving us chills like Fred Warner does today. It was a moment I always tell Shasky about. You guys beat the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. You're getting interviewed by Fox after the game to go to the Super Bowl. And Frank Gore runs up to you mid-interview, hugs you, and you can see the tears flowing. Do you remember that moment? Because that moment right there was signified that you two guys who were with this organization, that was an afterthought for so many years, had finally got to the mountaintop and it became relevant and finally accomplished something. Do you remember that moment, Patrick?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what it is right now this morning, but man, you're making my muscles, making me, I'm getting chills for some reason, like the muscles on the back of my neck standing up, because I remember those times, and like I said, just what that day meant to us, us being those guys who had, you know, everybody in the locker room, but really when I came in, like I said, in 2007, man, I feel like it wasn't the best football, you know, it was chaos. I feel like I was leaving college and coming to the pros just to have the same experience again. I remember being like, guys, you really, like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get drafted and come to a team that I'm going to feel the same way I felt when I was in college. Like, we're not able to win any games, but what makes it amazing is that we are the faithful for a reason. And I just remember telling myself, I'm going to work every day like it's my last, and we're going to turn this thing around. And if not, then I'm going to die trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And to see us you know, like I said, have that big win to turn around as we did, to experience the winning, to bring back that winning feeling. Man, it made me feel as if I was a part of the old school, hearing about all the greatness that they did, because that was a lot that drove me, because I heard so much about and knew so much about the earlier teams that came before us. And I was like, man, I have great respect for them, and I want to be legendary like those guys. So in order to do that, you got to go out and win and not just get close. And again, that's one of those things, when you look back over your career, man, to have gotten to the Super Bowl, don't want to take that away, but, yep, you know, you obviously wanted to win it as well. Because it just sounds good when you hear Super Bowl champion and Hall of Fame, you know, like, oh, right, man, that, you know, that's so. But I'm grateful, and, again, just grateful for the journey to Canton.
You, like, represented being a Niner unlike anyone else. I mean, you're the class personified, giving everything on every single play. My brother's favorite player by far. My grandfather, who's been following this team since the beginning at Kezar, used to always say Pat could play in any era on any team and be the best player on the field.
True three-down linebacker, Shasky. I mean, true three-down linebacker.
Just one of the baddest dudes ever. What was the most physical game you were ever in as a Niner? Because I'm thinking in my head like that. The NFC Championship game against, obviously, the Seahawks. Up in Seattle was one that sticks out. I know you had that game in Green Bay in the frozen tundra where you guys won on a field goal. The game against the Saints, even though it was high scoring, Hittner laying out Pierre Thomas before the game even started. What was the hardest hitting game you were ever a part of as a Niner?
You know, I would say, I mean, you just named some amazing games too that were physical across the board. But I would say it was always something about playing Seattle. Believe it or not, when we played Seattle, in my last few years, you know, I started playing the dime a whole lot, and so having to do a lot of coverage. So that would be weeks when I would have to drop some weight because I'm like, man, I'm covering the tight end this week, and this tight end is very elusive, and so I have to be light on my toes. But it was something about when we played Seattle, even though they had the tight ends they had at the time, I still had to come in heavy than normal because I knew they was a run first. They wanted to be a run first play action team and having beast mode over there. Man, it was never a dull, not physical game. And so I would just say probably Seattle because I always felt like it was it was something about that matchup.
No,
well, every game is physical.
Yeah, no, we know all about that matchup. We still can't stand Seattle. We can't wait for next Thursday. Cannot stand them, man.
Chancellor.
Oh, man. But it's truly one of the most physical, iconic football games ever, even though we came in on a short end. Patrick, I'm going to play the soundbite for you, and I want you to take us back through this moment.
Mm.
A special knock on your door. Take a listen, Patrick.
P. Willie.
Oh, man.
Willis.
Oh, man.
Welcome to the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024.
All right, man.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Now, Patrick, I know you're a very humble human being. We know that from covering you and watching you play and knowing your backstory on how you grew up and where you came from. And I know the Hall of Fame, if you got there, you're ecstatic about it. I get it. If you didn't get in, you'll move on in life and have a great life or whatnot. But when you did get that knock and you saw Bryant Young at your door, who also is a very understated, humble human being, who's one of the greatest Niner defensive linemen of all time, take us back through that moment when you heard that knock.
Yeah, you know, it was a surreal moment when I opened. But when I got the knock, I just, so much came back. I'm elated beyond words because I just remember telling myself, man, so many greats came before me, so many guys who I think are, you know, worthy of, you know, being a Hall of Famer or even being talked about. You know, they either not in or, you know, not. Yeah, they either not in or just, you know, far away. And so I always just told myself that control what you can control. If it's supposed to happen, it will happen. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to keep the faith. If it's supposed to happen one day, it will happen. And so when that knock happened, and not, it was amazing because it was BY, but also because it was time. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to worry anymore. I didn't have to have that feeling of like, man, I feel like, you know, what else? You know, are you supposed to do, like, what, you know, other than just, you know, keep on going? But I'm like, the time came. And so, yeah, just so much, it was so many feelings that went through at that moment, but truly it was just an honor and just a special day, and I'm glad it was BY. Because, again, I just remember, again, 2007, BY was one of those guys that was here grinding, and to have that moment and share with him, it was special.
You know, Pat, you mentioned Marshawn Lynch, and obviously when I think of that era, there were so many great running backs that you went up against, and there's so many great moments. You shutting down Adrian Peterson on multiple occasions, catching LaDainian Tomlinson from behind, all the battles with Steven Jackson, who was a forgotten stud of that era. Who was the if Marshawn, I know Marshawn's on a short list, but who were the tough guys to go up against at running back? Because it felt like you had the ultimate combination of speed and power, and so you can kind of go up against any one of those guys, but who was the toughest for you to go up against?
Yeah, you know, truthfully, before, when people used to ask me this early on, I would say this, and I'm going to say it again. I would say Steven Jackson. Going against him twice, you know, in my division, big guy, he had a jump cut, he could run, he could stiff arm, and I just always remember telling myself, man, when you get there, you got to come with it. I mean, I'm coming with it every play, but most definitely with him. And I'm like, and watch out for the stiff arm. Get ready to swipe, tackle, swipe, tackle, swipe, tackle. And so I just, you know, I enjoyed the battles that I had against him. Like you said, for me, it was my mentality. Every game was either me or you. And if it's you, I won't be allowed to see it. If it's me, dress yourself off and let's go do it again.
You know, you had that senior bowl where Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary was there, and Singletary was all over you. And you kind of, we kind of had a feeling. It's like, you know what, Willis may be our guy. And that picture, I'll never forget when they introduced you at your first rookie introductory press conference next to Joe Staley. So when Joe Staley retired, I think I posted that picture. It's like, wow, end of an era. And it's you and Joe Staley hanging up the jerseys. But what was it like playing for Mike Singletary? Because your pregame speeches, like, your pregame speeches became a thing of legend. Like, we play Fred Warner stuff, but then you're like spitting, and you got spit everywhere. And just, we got to have it. And this guy, Shaskin's getting pumped up. I'm getting pumped up. Who inspired those? How did you walk into a pregame speech? Did you do what you were going to say? Did it just come off the top of the head? Take us through that, Patrick.
Yeah, you know, I would try to write. When I first did it the first time, I was like, all right, cool. I thought maybe the next week someone else was going to get it, then another captain, and then someone else. But before you know it, it was me doing it, you know, back to back, and I was like, oh man, like, I gotta think of things to say. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. And so I would try to write all this, And truthfully, when I got out there, right before it was time to, you know, call this up, I'd be thinking, like, all right, everything I wrote, I try to think about everything I wrote. But then it was this feeling that I would feel, and that I would notice when I looked at my teammates. You know, you're looking them in the eyes, you're feeling the aura, you know, you're feeling the vibes, you feel in the mood, and I would just look at the guys, and it was just my soul would come alive, because, man, I'm not out there just playing just to be playing. Like, it means something, and I would just speak from the soul, and, you know, just let it out. And, you know, what you guys felt was my authenticity, my passion for the game, and that's why I knew, you know, when that time came that it was getting time to step away from the game, because I didn't have that same pat, that same something. And so, you know, I cherish those moments. I cherish those times. And again, I mean, playing for someone like Coach Singletary, it was intense, but I was very fortunate to have him, because I remember this, and I was thinking about it the other day. I remember the game we played. Could have been my first game at Candlestick. We played against the Cardinals, actually. I think the Cardinals
was actually Monday Night game.
Football, right?
Yeah, Arnaz Battle scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, so it was either that game or it could have been a ladder. But I remember, man, my rookie year, I would get these feelings where I'm like, I think I'm about to pass out. Like, I would literally, like, be out there and be like, I mean, starting the game, and I don't know if it's anxiety. Somehow I was like, man, I feel like I'm about to pass out. And a couple of times, Derek Smith, he's like, hey, Rook, you okay? Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to be all right. But I remember this one time being on the sideline, and Coach Singletary looked at me. You know, he always had a thing where he'd look at me like, Pat, you good? Let's go, son. You know, you're going to put in the work all week. You ready? And he looked at me. He's like, Pat, you okay? I said, Coach, I think I'm about to pass out. He said, you okay? I said, Coach, I think I'm about to pass out. And he said, Pat, calm before the storm, son. And you are the storm. And I'll never forget when he told me that. I remember saying to myself, you know what? You're right. I've put in all this work since I was a kid, since I was a kid, all the way through every level. I was like, I'm supposed to be here in this moment. This is my time. Take a deep breath, go out there and get it done. So, man, having Coach Singletary could be very intense, but just as it was intense, you know, it was an honor to have him because of what he was able to do, just being him.
I love
that. And Shasky, he had Mike Singletary introduce him or induct him to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame 2 years ago.
I love hearing these stories, Bill Willis. I appreciate your time with us. One more before you get going here. Like, when I see Jerry at the stadium, it still feels like he's part of the team. And I love how involved he is with the team and hanging out with the fans. And I've seen you a lot the last couple years at the stadium. And so that's awesome because, I mean, Pat, you are a Niner. And you will always be a Niner for Niner fans. You mean so much. You're around the team a lot. How often do you talk to Fred Warner? Because I've heard, you know, Fred always references you. And I've heard you referencing him in certain interviews. And I'm just curious what your guys' relationship is right now. And as someone who is at the stadium a lot, what's it like to see somebody kind of, you know, like number 54 roaming the middle of the field? I mean, they're very different than the way you played, but I mean, he's holding up that tradition of middle linebacker the way you did.
Yeah, man, shout out to Fred. And yeah, it's always a pleasure to be around the faithful, to be around the Niners. And so always grateful for that. But yeah, man, seeing Fred ball the way that he's balling out there, it's tremendous. He has been doing it since he's been in the league. You know, I'm a big fan of him and Dre, the combo that they have. Dre has missed. But, yeah, man, Fred is all pro so far this year. I mean, he's, you know, starting off well as a defensive player of the year candidate. You know, I'm rooting for him. That's an accolade that, you know, I was never fortunate. I was not fortunate enough to win in my time, but I'm most definitely rooting for him that he can continue to have this great season that he's having. But man, shout out to him and everything that he's doing and the way he's been leading the Niners since the day that he's got in. And again, I'm just rooting for them to go ahead and go get it done, because you know it doesn't get any easier as the years come. But he's most definitely doing it at a high level.
Well, Patrick, we want to thank you so much for the time. Our audience loves you. Our roasters, you know, Brian in Oakland, man, I could run through a brick wall right now. 5-1-0. I'm about ready to run through another wall. The calm before the storm, and you're the storm. Powerful. Everybody's ready. They're so jacked up. But that's what you mean to this fan base. That's what you mean to this region. And so we're just thrilled that you're going to receive your Pro Football Hall of Fame in front of the faithful this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. And all these great teammates and great members of the 49ers that came before you will be there to honor you. The 94 team, the 84 team, the 74 team. So many people out there. And Patrick, we can't wait to see you get your due. Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us today, man. We've been lifelong fans. We're even bigger fans now having you on the show.
No, thank you all so much for having me. And shout out to the faithful. And thank you all so much for your love and your support always.
Always.
Love it.
All the time. Patrick Willis here on the Morning Roast. Take care, Patrick. We'll see you on Sunday. Patrick Willis here on the Morning Roast, the Defensive Rookie of the Year in 07. 5-time first team all pro, second team all pro, 7-time pro bowler, all decades team, Buckus Award winner. I mean, this guy was everything. And you hear him, Shasky, that's the first time in a long time where I literally was getting chills listening to a guy talk.
I wanted to cry.
I know. I felt the emotion. I mean, this guy was everything.
You know, it's Ronnie's very different personality wise than Patrick Willis, but the way I view Ronnie Lott is like all time legend, one of the most passionate players I've ever seen.
Yep.
Literally gave his body up for the game on every single play. Mm-hmm. I feel the exact same way about Patrick Willis.
No doubt.
When I watch Fred Warner play, I feel the exact same way. Yep. There are certain guys that supersede the era that they're in. And we're very lucky to have watched every snap of his career.
Sucks
it was, you know, so short. But, I mean, the way the guy played. B, can you think of a moment he ever loafed it on the field?
No, absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying.
It could be down 30 to nothing. He's giving you everything he's got.
He's just a gladiator in every sense of the word. And when I watch all these guys talk about that era had so many studs.
Well, it brought
and
Niner.
He was physically dominant over all of them.
No, and it brought Niner football back.
100%.
There was a lost period in Niner football. 100%. Well, it was shameful to be a Niner fan. I remember being in Philadelphia and the bartender, because we got these minor league teams like the Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49ers, and it triggered me. This was right before Harbaugh took over. It was a lockout shortened season. Yeah. And it triggered me. It's like, The team I grew up rooting for that was winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl and contending for Super Bowls, considered a minor league team in Philadelphia. True story, Smokey Joe's Bar. And it ticked me off. And Patrick Willis was one of the ambassadors of bringing 49er football back. Dwayne Fontana, our guy from Reardon, Recology, shout out to him. He just texted Shasky saying, I'm damn near.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
They're ready to cry. And I'm getting a bunch of texts saying, I'm damn near ready. And you know why it's special too? Not only the career and how great he was as a linebacker, three down linebacker, play the run, play the pass, all pro teams, hit you, pick you off, go 80 yards, didn't matter. It's the backstory of what he had to go through in life to get to that point, to Ole Miss, to get to the NFL, knowing what was going on in his personal family life. That makes the story all that much better. So he's a Hall of Fame human being, and he's most certainly a Hall of Fame player, and he's going to get his ring on Sunday, man. I love Pete Willie.
You know, we do this thing in sports talk radio, like, so-and-so's not a winner. They've never won anything. And it's the most absurd thing ever. Tony Gwynn's not a winner.
Yeah, no.
Patrick Willis wasn't a winner.
I know. Frank Gore.
You know, Frank Gore, exactly. You know? Like, just because they never won the ring, like, it crushes
Dan Marino.
Me. But, like, looking back, like, Patrick Willis wasn't a winner?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Yep.
Just because he didn't win the ultimate one? Get out of here with that.
Nah.
There are many lesser players who have won rings who didn't have a fraction of the heart, soul, and talent of a Patrick Willis.
He single-handedly got me fired up for Sunday. I mean, single-handedly right there. So we'll see him at Levi Stadium. Great to have Patrick Willis on. We're going to shift gears here. Maybe we'll replay that interview later on in the show.
God, he's the time. Best.
He is awesome. Patrick Willis
the best.
On the morning roast,
my,
man.
My brother. I could just hear my brother. Yeah. P. Willie.
Just number 52. Day one star. Day one. His Senior Bowl trek, when they followed him at the Senior Bowl, the Niners coaching staff was there, in a way kind of reminds me of the way Shanahan was on Debo Samuel at the Senior Bowl. They were all over him. So, anyway, we'll do that. Patrick Willis on the River Islands guest lined up. We'll do Call of the Week a little bit later. Lubman will push that back. Call of the Week. Up next, Don Bailey Jr. is going to preview Miami and Cal. He was on the first ever national championship team. He'll hype this game up. And what it means for Miami to be back on the West Coast. We'll do that for a couple minutes. And that's coming up, brought to you by Frontier Ford. The Inner Summer Sales event is on at Frontier Field Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.
What are they doing? I have not seen the kicker come on the field, and I don't think he's coming on the field. And I might as well, I think that they've got things going their way. Tom Osborne made this decision a long time ago. Don't think that this situation caught him by surprise. He's decided to go for two and take his shot at winning. I commend him for it.
This is for the national championship for Nebraska.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
That was the first of five national championships for the University of Miami. And now we're Cal guys. We're looking, rooting for the local team. But from afar, there's a lot of Hurricane fans on the West Coast. And the center on that 1983 national championship team was Don Bailey Jr., who's now currently the color commentator for the Miami Hurricanes on 560 WQAM. And he's out here on the West Coast. Don, thanks for joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Don, thanks so much for joining us, man. Flashbacks there. Don Crickey, NBC, Nebraska, the Orange Bowl. I know you got some goosebumps right there, Don.
I get goosebumps every time I hear it. One of the greatest games in the history of the world for Hurricane fans. I can promise you that.
And now it feels like the Hurricanes are back with Cam Ward. And look, I'll admit this, Don. I'm going to just get it out the way. Don't judge me. I was searching for cartoons on a Saturday morning, and I saw a Florida State game, and I became a Florida State fan. But from afar, I've been envious of the Hurricanes because of the swagger, the colors, the great players, the great names. And when you guys went down to the swamp this year in Florida, I said, oh, my God, the Hurricanes are back. And it's all because of Cam Ward, that quarterback. How fun has he been to watch at quarterback this season?
Well, Vontae, first of all, I want you to understand something. You and I already have a built-in relationship. We both hate them damn Gators. That's all that matters.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go, Don.
Nah, listen, Cam Ward, forget the Florida game. From the day he hit campus in the spring, he has been impressing everybody every single day, and it is yet to stop. You know, I just think that this young man has got it figured out. He's living proof of why, you know, you're better off staying in college, in the college game, as long as you can, and being able to master it, because he is preparing himself for the next level, and he's certainly making sure this University of Miami team looks as good as they do.
All right. Miami going all the way for a classic ACC matchup in Berkeley. I mean, this has got to be kind of weird for you as a U guy, right? Like, this is weird. We could all admit it. Like, this whole conference realignment stuff is kind of out of whack. But coming to Cal this week, I mean, this is pretty weird. I find it to be fun.
It might be weird for most, but for the Bailey family, my wife came out here Sunday and went to Calistoga. I got out here Wednesday and came up here. We've made the best of it. So we can do this trip every year if it's all right with you guys.
hold on, Don. I love you some Calistoga,
he
too. I'm
bougie
like that. We're just staying in Calistoga. We're just staying in Calistoga, Don.
At the Springs, man.
Hot Springs, man.
I already put my 45 minutes to swim in this morning. We're getting ready to go do a bike deal. I'm bought into this California
thing. Hey, Calistoga's it's a hell of a place. I'm from the hood, Dom, but Calistoga's my type of place. Do you remember when Miami, now they played the Emerald Bowl out here against Cal, Javon Bass, and you guys, I think who was the coach?
Randy Shannon
was that coach. That was a fun game,
seeing
come out to the West Coast. But do you remember the game they came out here to Berkeley in the early 90s? It was a really good game, and the Miami Hurricanes ended up dropping 50. I'm not sure if you remember that game, Don.
No, that was a little far back for me. No, I remember it. But the ACC now, it's a national conference. And I think, you know, in today's world, for Miami to pick up SMU and Samford and then, of course, Cal and get them incorporated, and it's for Miami. Well, I'll be selfish here. And Cal's living example of it, too. Cal doesn't have that quarterback if they don't come to Miami, right? Mendoza's a Miami guy who went to the same high school as Coach Cristobal. As a matter of fact, he and his dad played with each other on the same team. So I don't mind his cross-conference deal. I tell you, I do have a problem, though. I do have a problem with the West Coast coming to the East Coast and kicking before 3 o'clock, and I got a problem with the East Coast coming to the West Coast and kicking as late as they're kicking. I don't think it's right for the kids. I don't think it's right for anything to make teams do that and beat them up. And it's not so much the way out, it's the way home. So, I mean, other than that, I'm all bought in on this thing, and there's really not much you and I and Joe can do about it except enjoy it and embrace it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know we've kind of talked a lot, I mean, just on this show about Cam Ward, the quarterback and whatnot. Yep. But there actually has been a good Bay Area legacy of players, elite players going to the U. And for us out here, it's like, oh, you're going to the U? You've arrived. Gino Toretta, Ken Dorsey, DJ Williams, like just a few of the names. Like, surprisingly, the U has always recruited out of the Bay Area.
Yeah, they've done a great job out here. And, you know, the thing now is it won't stop because Coach Cristobal spent 5 years at Oregon and is familiar with recruiting this coast, and he's familiar with this football team and its staff. And it's important, I think, today for Miami. I can speak for Miami. I mean, Cal's probably in the same position. I'm going through their roster. They've gone all over the place, too. If you are not recruiting nationally, you're really, I think, tying your hands behind your back, because you've got to be able to come out and get marquee players. And look, you take Cam Ward's journey. I mean, he's high school, zero star in Texas, and stays in Texas for a year, and then goes to Washington State for a couple, and then comes to Miami. I mean, it's worked out well. And with the transfer portal, it's an international team everywhere you go. There's players from all over the world. Heck, I was just looking here. You guys got a left tackle. Cal's got a left tackle from Sweden that went to Temple. So, I mean, what the heck? Who's to say where anybody's going to come from anymore?
Don Bailey Jr. here on the River Islands Gaslight, color commentator for the Miami Hurricanes on 560 WQAM, center for the 83 National Championship team for the Miami Hurricanes, a first of five. And look, we've watched the 30 for 30s, Don. We've watched all of them. We know about all the great players. You guys may be the only school that has like six rivals, you know, Florida, Florida State, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. Everybody wants to claim Miami as a rival. But what is it like being around that campus, being around that college where you have all these great players and the swagger, the Michael Irvins, the Reggie Waynes, the Andrew James. Take us through the culture of the U, man, because it's a different lifestyle, it seems like.
Yeah, you know it is, but I will tell you, everybody is perceived, and hey, Michael Irvin, he was at the game last week and on the sideline the whole game. And I will tell you, he probably willed this team and worked this team to a victory as much as anybody. I interviewed him in the locker room after the game. He's drenched, just working that sideline, soaking wet. And the thing that happens here is everybody, you know, there's a couple sayings that go with Miami, and brotherhood is one of them. You know, the guys all root for each other. Now, they'll compete against each other, too, now. But they'll root for each other. But, you know, everybody says the same thing. It's a Kane thing, and you just won't understand. And unless you're really in the family, you know, it's kind of hard to get it. Because I know the personalities are different, the attitudes are different, the people are different. But once they hit that locker room, it turns into a brotherhood like no other. And we're proud of that. And it's gone through some ups and it's gone through some downs. But right now, Coach Cristobal, being the main guy, I mean, because he won two championships here. He was highly successful at Oregon out on this coast. Mm-hmm. And has groomed himself to come back home and run the family business. And I happen to be in a family business. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with it. But he's doing a great job getting Miami back to those days where we're competing for championships.
Who's your favorite person to see on the sidelines? Because, like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the memes online, which is, like, the internet, like, graphics and stuff, making fun of everything, it's pretty funny. I mean, just the memes leading up to this game. I saw the Coke versus the Woke. I saw the Communists versus the Convicts. I saw so many different jokes that were coming out. But, like, Uncle Luke on the sideline, Michael Irvin, who's the funniest person that you've seen on the sidelines at a U game?
Well, you know, I can't pick one. It's like, what's your favorite act at a circus, right? I mean, who do you choose? I mean, everybody's got their own personality. Then they come back and they get involved in the sideline. Hey, my favorite person on the sideline is my wife. She's a water girl, so I my favorite person. She does the water and does all of that stuff. So, I mean, I'm happy with that. But I think overall, the personalities of this program have been fantastic, and they're continuing. I mean, look, Cam Ward's going to fall into one of the greatest of all times if he can finish this season the way he started it. And if he can get Miami, you know, into the ACC championship game, and we'll see what happens after that, he's going to be a famous one as well. So there's names on this team that are going to go down in history.
You know, you talk about all the famous and the circus act and everything. I remember watching the 30 for 30 at Butch Davis, who was a coach who helped bring Miami back to relevance after all the penalties or whatnot through the 90s, and he brings them back before Larry Coker. And he goes, I'm trying to listen to what these kids are listening to and the music that they're playing. And they said Trick Daddy. So Trick Daddy, is that somebody you've run into? Do you know who Trick Daddy is, Don?
Trick Daddy and I are neighbors in Miami. We live right next door. No, I'm kidding.
You had me going, man. You got Calistoga rolling. You got me going here, Don.
the Calistoga's for real. The Trick Daddy and I. You know, Luke, we still see around town. Now, Luke is involved in high school football in Miami quite a bit, and he's still around. And, you know, he's embraced a lot of places. He brought a lot of attention. Some maybe didn't like it so much, but he brought attention to our town of Miami, and he's a big-timer down there.
Real quick, Frank Gore. What do you remember about Frank Gore? He's one of our favorite 49ers of all time, and I know he didn't have the career he wanted at Miami due to the injuries, but I know that running back room with him, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore was among the best. What do you remember about Frank? Is Don there? Don, you there? Uh-oh.
I think Calistoga got him.
Calistoga got him. The mud pack.
Maybe it was one of my jokes on the memes that I saw online.
Yeah. Oh, we got him, Don. You got us back?
I got you, baby.
All right. Frank Gore. What do you remember about Frank Gore? He's one of our favorite Niners of all time, and we think he's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. Just got inducted into the 49ers Football Hall of Fame. What do you remember about Frank being down there in Miami?
Well, this is a true story. I remember, you know, I'm down there quite a bit, and I always want to make sure I get there the first day of fall practice. And I walked out on the field and in shorts. You never see, you know, you don't see much flash in shorts. I mean, especially if you've been watching it as long as I have. And the very, like, I walk out and immediately my eyes go to this direction. And sure enough, it was Frank Gore. And it had never stopped. And is it, what one thing made Frank Gore? I don't know. I can't pick one thing that made Frank. I would say, you know, in the National Football League, it's his durability and 16,000 yards. But I go, he was such a tough guy. He could catch. He would block. There's not anything he couldn't do. And yet, he probably couldn't outrun a lot of people. You know what I mean? You know, it equates speed to the running back position. He had plenty, but he wasn't a top-end guy. But he would just amaze me with his versatility and his toughness. And I still, and I might be off a little bit, but I think when we lost that game in 2002, the championship game to Ohio State, he was hurt. And Miami had a chance to get back in it. And if Frank Gore got hurt that year, I think Frank Gore, if you ask him to this day, he'd have gone in and he would have played the final quarter and helped Miami win that game. And he's that kind of tough guy. And, you know, he's just an amazing, amazing example of the type of young men that have come through the University of Miami. And, you know, he didn't have it easy growing up. He went to high school right across the street from the UM campus at Coral Gables High, but just an absolute fantastic football player. Never got in trouble, quiet guy, but he was a hard worker. And he is just, I mean, you look at what he, those two major knee operations and never set him back. And now he's going to be in, he'll ultimately be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. You reference like the transformation of Frank Gore. I didn't know this guy beforehand, but our producer's from the University of Miami. And right. I think the University of Miami, like, transformed him. We got to get him on here. Like Sam, I've been dying to talk football with Don Bailey.
Hurricane gear. His ringtone.
He has a tattoo.
Yeah, he has a tattoo. What's your ringtone, Lubby? Get out here on the microphone. It's all about the U.
Yeah, the ringtone is from the U opening. It's Luther. It's Uncle Luke singing. It's all about the U. So every time I get a text, I get the "It's all about the U" from Uncle Luke.
Ask Don something, man. You're a hurricane, Lovin. What got you a hurricane?
Honestly, Don, if I'm going to ask you any questions, it's got to be about this game. I'm just curious how you think Cam Ward handles this Cal defense, which is one of the best in the nation. They lead the country with 10 picks. I mean, this is going to be a big challenge for Cam Ward here. I'm curious. What do you think about that?
My take on this is very simple. I think it's time to take it off of Cam Ward. I think at this stage of the game, it's time for the other 21 guys on this team that are going to start. It's the time to take it off of Cam Ward. And because I'm with you. Cal, to me, straight business, is one of the best teams in the conference. They will be maybe the best defense Miami plays. Their quarterback can beat anybody if he gets a little help. It should have beat Florida State. This should be two undefeated teams going right now. But I think that for the rest of the season, what Miami learned last week is this cannot just be the Cam Ward show every single snap. Miami's got to get the defense taking the football away and tackling better than they did last week. They've got to get the tight ends to continue to be involved. And the running game, when it's called, it's got to be a little bit more successful. And my whole thing is Cam Ward is outstanding. He is taking over college football. If he's not up for the Heisman in the next couple weeks as the front runner, I'll be shocked. If Miami can keep winning, he should win a Heisman Trophy. But there comes a game, and there comes a series, and there comes a quarter throughout a season where somebody else has got to do something other than Cam Ward. Because not everybody wakes up every day and it's their day. And it's been that way for Cam so far. But I don't like it. Him having to carry the complete load. Mm. And I hope that answers your question. I mean, I just gave you my whole pregame speech, so there you go.
No, I love it. I'm fired up for it now. I mean, I've been a little bit nervous about this game because this defense is that good that Cal has, but I'm excited for this game regardless.
Yeah, I am too, but I think you guys underestimate, not you personally, but I think, you know, I watched Mendoza. I watched him against Auburn. I watched him against Florida State. And this guy, he wins. You know, he just wins. And I'm not comparing how he plays the game or the person, but, you know, Kenny Dorsey was a seventh round pick into the draft, and he was surrounded by a real good talent, and he was able to orchestrate the offense. And that's what made him great. I think that's what this Mendoza kid does, is he understands the offense. He has a grasp of it, and he moves well enough to accomplish things. They've surrounded him with, you know, Grizzle, who's a big receiver, and this Hunter kid's got a four touchdowns. And I just hope that Jay Knott just isn't. I hope he doesn't come back yet. I hope he's still a little bit lame from getting banged up, because that guy was 1,200 yards last year, it's going to hurt. And then their defense, we believe the Miami offense believes those two linebackers are as good as there are as a tandem possibly in the country. And, you know, they've got that edge guy that does a heck of a job. Let me tell you, he's a big-time player as well. And I think that, you know, Cal's put together one heck of a football team, and McCullough's the edge guy. And I think that they can hurt you. And here's the bottom line for me, if we talk again in 10 years, it'll be the same thing. You turn that football over three times like you did last week, I don't care who you're playing, there's a good chance you're going to lose the football game. And that's what can happen.
Well, Don, this is awesome, man. We could talk another hour with you, man. But I know you're up there at Calistoga. We could talk about how you guys got screwed in that Ohio State FC Bowl. That was the latest flag I've seen in the history of football. It's like the confetti was down, the bottles were getting popped, and wait, pass interference. What? The game's over. What are you talking about? But, Don, have a good call. I'm glad you're enjoying the Bay Area. We love the fact that Miami's coming out here. We're all going to the game. We cannot wait to see the Hurricanes take on the Cal Golden Bears. But we thank you so much for the time, Don. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Anytime, my guys. I appreciate it. And go Canes, and I appreciate all the hospitality out here. It's been a great time. Thank you.
Enjoy that mud bath later on today.
All right, baby.
All right. Don Bailey Jr., color commentator for the Miami Hurricanes on 560 WQAM, center for the 83 National Championship team. We watch all the 30 for 30s, man. There's something about Miami. Like, I'm a Florida State fan, and I'm just like, damn. The orange jerseys, the white pants, the white helmets with the U, the swagger. When they went down to the swamp, and those two receivers, that receiver caught the touchdown, and the two receivers started doing the gator chomp in the end zone, I said, oh, damn, the U is back. I knew it right then and there. I said, Chris Ball's got to roll it again.
All right. For your money, greatest college football team of all time is? I know this is a hard one. I'm going to take the 2001 Miami.
I knew you were going to take them. I knew you were going to take them. It's hard for me to argue.
By the way, they lost Reggie Wayne that year.
I know.
I'm going to read you off this team real quick.
I know. This team is amazing.
I think it's the greatest football team of all time. Andre Johnson, Bryant McKinney.
Yep.
Wow. Shockey and Winslow.
Oh, my God.
Dorsey at quarterback. Your fullbacks are Jarrett Payton, Walters Kidd, and Najee Davenport.
Oh, my God.
And listen to this backfield. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore.
Oh, my gosh.
Then on defense, the full team got drafted. I mean, everyone. Phillip Buchanan, Antrell Roll, McDougal, William Joseph, who played forever, it feels like, Mike Roast Rump, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, DJ Williams, Jonathan Vilma, and Rocky McIntosh. Oh. Come on! That is literally a video game team. 38 guys were drafted.
The 30 for 30 is so funny. No, they might be the greatest football team.
38 guys.
It's hard for me to argue. It's hard for me to argue. Now, somebody said 94 Nebraska, that team was really good. Florida State has some really good teams.
04 USC, people.
04 USC.
Well, it was
great when they were playing Texas for the Rose Bowl. Leading up to that game against Texas, they had the hypothetical games going on. USC versus the 01 Canes. How would it go? Okay. USC versus the 94 Nebraska Cornhuskers. USC versus one of those Bama. Or Bama's had some really good teams, Monte, too.
Monte,
but this
Monte.
Miami Hurricane team, it's hard for
Andre
me to argue.
Andre Johnson's a Hall of Famer.
I know. It's hard for me to argue.
I'll also put 2019 LSU. You look at that lineup
Jamar
in the
Chase,
NFL.
Justin Jefferson,
Justin
Joe
Patrick
Burrow.
Queen, Grant Delpit. There's so many people on that team.
Yeah,
but right now, let's just right now. Ed Reed, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What Sean Taylor should have been, would have been, could have been a Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
Right? We all agree there. I don't think DJ Williams or Jonathan Vilma are going to be on those lists, but Vilma was sick.
Vilma
for a
was
long
sick,
time.
And DJ Williams was sick. People forget he started off his career as a fullback.
Yes.
And he scored a touchdown to the Sugar Bowl against Florida coming out the backfield.
True freshman. Vince Wilfork. What do you think about him?
I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
I think so too. Now, Antrell Roll, not a Hall of Famer. Hella good for hella long.
And he talked that talk.
Absolutely. absolutely. Shockey, although not a Hall of Famer, had a hell of a career.
Shockey was in the matchup nightmare.
Yeah,
he was a matchup nightmare.
Clint Portis, to me, is one of the best backs of that era. I know McGahee blew his knee out, but he had a great run with Baltimore. And Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Literally multiple Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. It's one of the greatest football teams ever
they
assembled.
They could have three-peated, and they got shafted. So they beat Florida State in
Roscoe
the regular season.
Parrish the next
year. They beat Florida State in the regular season at the Orange Bowl. Wyatt Wright 3, right? And I remember that game. It was it was a high noon kick, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Humid as hell, Shasky. You remember this game. Anquan Boldin took a hit in that game. It was some of the hardest hitting football games I've ever seen in my life. I said, dear God, somebody's gonna get really hurt here. So they win that game, and it was a whole BCS debacle. Remember the BCS point system? They ended up having Florida State play Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl for the national championship. And Miami got shafted out of that. There's no doubt. And Florida State lost 13-2 to Oklahoma. But remember the 30 for 30. Shaka was like, I'm from Oklahoma. I had dudes on the suitors text me. He was like, yeah, you guys would have beat us by 3 touchdowns if we played you. Like, they knew they had a fandom national championship. They were that good. That good. And we're not even talking about the teams from the 80s. The teams from the 80s, which set the table.
Again, the 2001 Hurricanes, they lost Reggie Wayne. They lost Reggie Wayne and didn't skip a beat. Because I love Reggie Wayne. And by the way, also had Santana Moss on the year prior.
Yeah, I know Santana.
I mean, they were talking about some of the greatest teams of all time.
So they played 5 ranked teams. They started off that season at Penn State and Happy Valley, beat the hell out of them 33-7. Beat Rutgers 61-0. They go to Tallahassee that year in a big game on ABC. Keith Jackson, they win 49-27. You know, Florida State defense giving up 49 points. That's how good this team was. Then they go to Boston College. That was the Ed Reed game when they were losing at the half. And Ed Reed walked out on them. Remember he walked out on them at the speech? And then he had one of the sickest pick sixes I've ever seen on the football field. Remember that? He like went zigzagged all across the field for like 100 yards to win that game 18-7.
There's only one safety in the history of the game I might take over Ronnie Lott. Might.
Ed Reed.
It's Ed Reed.
Ed Reed.
It's the only guy.
Ed Reed. He's unbelievable. Remember that pick against Boston College? He had the speech.
I said Mike, by the way.
Yeah, no, I love you, Ronnie. But that pick he had against Boston College to save their season, to save that game. Then they played Washington. They beat them 65-7. And the Huskies started crying, saying, well, they ran up the score. They ran up the score. They beat Syracuse, who were the number 14 team in the country. Think about this. Number 14 team in the country. They beat them 59-0.
It's incredible. Just incredible.
A team was loaded. Loaded.
And I'm looking at this 0-4 USC team. There's just no chance.
How about this?
It's not even close.
Well, you're looking at the players' NFL
careers.
No, I agree. That's why.
I agree.
Yeah. So it's different.
College, though.
I thought Matt Leinart
and Reggie Bush
were
both Heisman winners.
Real quick before you get in here, Lubman, we take this call. Is that even the best Miami team in the history of Miami?
Well, in the 80s, they had, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Those 86, 87 teams.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean,
like the 91 team, no one talks about that much. Undefeated national champs. I mean, loaded team.
And the game they lost against Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl where they got off the plane in Army fatigues with the late, great Jerome Brown. Remember they just left the hole. They had the little kumbaya. They just left. The 30 for 30s are priceless. We watched those in the bachelor pad. We'd fall asleep to those 30 for 30s. And I'd be so jealous. Like, damn, this Florida State. Why couldn't I watch Miami for the first time?
I would also say that the Hurricane mascot is one of the best mascots in sports.
Well,
right?
Sebastian the Ibis.
It's the best logo. One of the best logos in sports.
He's always in the right spot, that mascot. He's always in the right spot. The reason why
he's
got a knack for the moment.
What are you talking
2000
about?
Sugar Bowls?
Even 2000 Sugar Bowl.
Right,
I'm talking about wide.
He's the Dennis Rodman
dude,
mascots.
He's always in the right spot. Wide right one in Tallahassee. When Gino Toretta led Miami to Tallahassee. True story, Spinoli. Look this up and go watch the highlight right now. Watch the highlight right now. I guarantee it. They won 17-16, wide right, when Bobby Bowden was on the field. He's looking. Remember Bobby Bowden looked around the field and goes, dadgummit, we lost. It was 1-2, and Sebastian the Ibis is there in the end zone doing the no good. The no good. I swear to God, it was like the first big time college football game I ever watched. And he's always in, and he had the smoke. The smoke coming out of the tunnel. Gosh, I can't believe the Hurricanes are coming to the West Coast.
Now I'm looking at this 2019 LSU team. TDP, who couldn't make it with the Niners. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's Terrence Marshall, who's on the Niners right now. Patrick Queen, who you referenced earlier. I mean, this team is pretty freaking sweet. Joe Burrow, I mean, Wow. This team is ridiculous. They're Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are...
Yeah, they're not touching Miami, though.
Really, really quick.
Because they would have got hit in that game, and they would have been out for the game.
Really quick, though. We'll get to this call in a second. My favorite stat about the 2001 team, I did a deep dive on this a while ago because I had that free time.
Derek
I count
Stanley?
44 Pro Bowl seasons from that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team. I looked up a bunch of other like really good college teams to see the most that I could find. The most that I could find was the 97 Michigan team that had 22 Pro Bowl
seasons.
They were
seasons.
Good. Desmond Howard?
Half of those Pro Bowl seasons.
No, that wasn't Desmond. That was Charles Woodson. 97 was Charles Woodson.
But Frank Greasy. Excuse me, Charles Woodson.
Yeah, that team was good.
Like 22, 24 Pro Bowl seasons. Half of those Pro Bowl seasons for from Michigan's backup quarterback that year.
Yeah.
The backup quarterback being Tom Brady.
Yeah, backup Brian Greasy. Brian Greasy looked incredible at the Rose Bowl against Ryan Leaf. Woodson had one of the sickest picks. They're down 7-0. Washington State's driving in the Rose Bowl. And they were running four wides all game long. They were in shotgun, four wides all day long, throwing the ball all over the place. I'm like, boy, Michigan might be in trouble with this game.
They're in trouble. And Woodson had this pick.
He had this pick in the end zone where it was like, you see the number two, you know the iconic photo. You see the Woodson on the back, the number two, and he intercepted it, and it changed the game. It turned the whole entire game around. So that team was a lot of fun. They weren't on the level of that 0-1 Miami team. There's no doubt. Well, there's no doubt.
I'm telling you, this LSU team was going to beat that USC team for sure. Derek Stingley? I don't know.
We're underselling Reggie Bush and Lindell White, Matt Leinart, Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith. I mean, they were sick.
They were very good.
They were box office,
but it's Leinart,
man.
You know?
Dude, Reggie Bush. It's Leinart. Reggie Bush, on top five college football players of all time in my lifetime.
No doubt.
On my list.
Well, and Lindell White was ridiculous.
And then you got Tommy Frazier from Nebraska. That's why the option game.
Well,
I don't know how that would have translated, but Tommy Frazier and that offensive line from Nebraska. Lawrence Phil.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.